Right, 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, hour number 3 on this Good Friday. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. I hope the number, let me check here. It was 2,300 people in our area that were without power after last night. At least that was the latest from Alabama Power. And that was as of 6 this morning. We'll see. Let's see if they've got a few more up here. So we've got another note from them. Yeah, so no, still at 2,200. So 2,200 in the area. So maybe 100. Okay, so 100 people got their power back on. About 2,200 people in our area without power. Crews have worked throughout the night, continue working today. About 100 additional crew members from the outside of the area are working to get power restored this morning. So they are working on that. We lost it a few times last night. Well, I mean, power at our house, but came right back on. Pretty heavy storms last night. No tornadoes, thank goodness, in our area, but a lot of limbs down and a little cleanup to do. The nice thing is you got a pretty weekend ahead. Maybe you want to get the limbs cleaned out of the yard before you start stashing Easter eggs for Sunday. Let's also talk about what happened yesterday, the, I don't know if the Easter egg or the egg laid as the redacted Mueller report came out. And it's... You know, I don't know what to compare it against because they had said the heavily redacted Mueller report. So yesterday when it came out, downloaded it and read as much as I could between doing shows of the 443 pages, kind of skimming through. You know, I don't know what to compare it to say whether that was lightly redacted, medium redacted, or heavily redacted. I think you get a lot of information there. If there are issues for methods and all that, I don't think we want to expose that, how our intelligence agencies and law enforcement work. So... I would say this, that the benefit here for the Democrats will be the redacted portions, right? As they continue to say, oh, well, we want to see those. It's what's in there. Do they really want to see them or do they want to continue to use them as a political tool? But I would point, I think it was a win. Yes, the president said it was a win. I think it was a win for President Trump. Also think it left a lot of questions of kind of what was going on in the White House at that time or the campaign beforehand. First of all, the president yesterday commenting during an event he had to honor wounded warriors, made some comments about the release of the Mueller report. Let's we go to that. We'll go to that. Where's the track? All right, we'll go to that. Go to that one first. Here's President Trump yesterday.
It's been a long relationship I've had, and the soldier ride is something very, very special. Few people could do it, including me. I hate to admit that, General, but including me. We're deeply honored to be in the presence of true American heroes. I want to thank our great Vice President, Mike Pence, and Karen Pence for being with us today. Thank you, Mike and Karen. Stand up. Mike, stand up. And theirs is really a fierce devotion. I can tell you that, speaking, I deal with Mike and Karen, and they have a fierce devotion to America's veterans, and we all do, and thank you very much. We're also grateful to be joined by Acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan. Patrick, thank you very much. Great job you're doing. (laughs) 100% of the caliphate. So that's that was great. That was one of our early assignments, right, with you. So I appreciate it. Great job, Pat. General Counsel of Veteran Affairs, Jim Byrne. Jim, thank you very much, Jim. Great job. And Army Vice Chief of Staff, General James McConville. James, thank you, James. Thank you, Jim. I also want to thank two great congressmen for being here, and if we had room, we would have had a lot more. Phil Rowe and James Baird. Thank you very much. Thank you, Kelly. And they're having a good day. I'm having a good day, too. It was called No Collusion, No Obstruction. There never was, by the way, and there never will be. And we do have to get to the bottom of these things, I will say. And this should never happen. I say this in front of my friends, wounded warriors, and I just call them warriors because we just shook hands and they look great. They look so good. So,
well, you know, we probably should have gotten the redacted version of that clip from the president as well. All right. So a couple comments from President Trump yesterday. More on that story. Bob Constantini from Westwood One.
Attorney General Barr's statement, based on the Mueller report, pointed out that while it was quite clear Russia's Internet Research Agency, affiliated with the Putin government, tried to influence the campaign in favor of Donald Trump.
Indeed, as the report states, quote, the investigation did not identify evidence that any U.S. person knowingly or intentionally coordinated with the IRA's interference operation, unquote. Put another way, the special counsel found no collusion.
The report itself suggests the June 2015 meeting at Trump Tower, arranged by Donald Trump Jr. with Russians claiming to have dirt on Hillary Clinton, was one of many contacts studied under what's commonly referred to as collusion. Otherwise, quote, the Russian contacts consisted of business connections, offers of assistance to the campaign, invitations for candidate Trump and Putin to meet in person, invitations for campaign officials and representatives of the Russian government to meet, and policy positions seeking improved U.S.-Russian relations, end quote. President Trump's initial public reaction was brief during an event hosting wounded warriors here.
And they're having a good day. I'm having a good day, too. It was called No Collusion, No Obstruction.
The attorney general saying Robert Mueller handed off the idea of whether the president or someone close to him tried to obstruct justice in the Russia investigation after finding 10 potential episodes.
Although the deputy attorney general and I disagreed with some of the special counsel's legal theories and felt that some of the episodes examined did not amount to obstruction as a matter of law, we did not rely solely on that in making our decision.
Democrats on Capitol Hill will certainly try to look at those episodes further, including the firing of James Comey and some of the president's tweets urging potential witnesses to not rat on him.
Related to the obstruction of justice aspect of the Mueller report, Barr offered up this bit of empathy for President Trump.
There is substantial evidence to show that the president was frustrated and angered by his sincere belief that the investigation was undermining his presidency, propelled by his political opponents, and fueled by illegal leaks.
Robert Mueller left it up to Barr and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein to look into whether the president or someone close to him could have engaged in obstruction of justice. They decided no. Among the obstruction of justice lines of inquiry Mueller mentions in the report are the firing of James Comey, attempts to influence witnesses, and the president's order to White House counsel Don McGahn that he tell Deputy AG Rod Rosenstein to fire Mueller. McGahn, who spoke with the Mueller team for as much as 30 hours, apparently refused to do so in an effort to save the president from an appearance of obstruction of justice. Add to that the alleged efforts by the president to get Michael Cohen to stay loyal once Cohen had criminal legal problems in New York. Mueller ends with a hint for Congress to decide if it should charge the president with obstruction. On the way to Mar-a-Lago, President Trump tweeted from Air Force One, I had the right to end the whole witch hunt if I wanted. I could have fired everyone, including Mueller, if I wanted. I chose not to. I had the right to use executive privilege. I didn't. However, the Mueller report makes a pointed comment regarding obstruction. The president's efforts to influence the investigation were mostly unsuccessful, but that is largely because the persons who surrounded the president declined to carry out orders or accede to his requests. Bob Costantini, The White House.
All right, so there's that update. I want to hear from you now, and I've heard from a few of you on the text line. Terry, I'm with you. Terry texted in, I read the report. Once again, I'm sitting here after listening to both Fox and MSNBC's talking heads and going, hey, did you and I just read the same thing? That's what I want to get to. Both sides have run and say it's a black and white 100% win for their point of view. And maybe if you're a pundit, you know, an acolyte, you can do that. To me, it seems like there's a lot of gray in this. So we'll talk about it when we get back right here on Mobile Mornings. Phone number 343-0106. This information update brought to you by Professional Collision Auto Body Repair Shops. Their certified technicians are trained to restore your car to the highest quality standards at a fair market price. Learn more at ProfessionalCollision.com. All right, I am bummed out. Why are you doing that to me? I'm bummed out about this tonight.
Early in the morning when the sun does rise.
Man, he's cool. He's cool. Yeah, Tyler Childers in town tonight. One of my new favorites out there over the last year or so. And No tickets for me. I was too slow. It was already a sold out show. So hey, if somebody, let me use this show for my own benefit. If you got an extra ticket you want to sell to that show tonight, let me know. 343-0106, 343-0106. Also to call in about the Mueller report and your take on it. Before I do, I got people holding on. I'm going to come to you, but let me go through a real quick story, very quick, from Yellowhammer News. And yes, this is self-serving, as through this whole process when everybody turned on Attorney General Jeff Sessions so quickly. And I said, you know, I got to stick with the dance with the one who brung me. A story from Sean Ross over at Yellowhammer News says, even though President Donald Trump gave Jeff Sessions a lot of flack during his tenure as attorney general for recusing himself from the FBI special counsel investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election cycle, the Mueller report's release yesterday shows why Sessions had incontrovertible conflict of interest. He was personally under investigation by the special counsel's office. Pages 190, this has not been talked about nationally at all, but if you look, pages 197 through 198 of the report detailed that the special counsel's office investigated Sessions' interactions with Russian Ambassador Kislyak back in April and July of September 2016. We have talked about that in the past when Sessions was Alabama senator. Not only did they look into interactions themselves, which Sessions has maintained did not relate to the Trump campaign, but the special counsel's office examined whether Sessions committed perjury or made false statements to Congress in regards to these interactions. Ultimately, they found Sessions' explanation of his statements to be plausible, so there was insufficient evidence to prove that Sessions was willingly untruthful in his answers. Therefore, consistent with the DOJ policy, the special counsel declined to prosecute Sessions and informed his attorney the decision in March of 2018. So, I can link this story through on the Twitter feed, but people back to just hammering on Jeff Sessions for recusing himself. How about the fact that he was specifically part of the investigation? So if you're part of the investigation, how do you run the investigation? You see what I'm saying? Once again, I knew it would come out. I knew it would come out. Didn't know when, but knew it, and now here it is. That shows, once again, my belief that Jeff Sessions was adhering to the rule of law in this the whole time. There it is. Check it out. Pages 197 and 198. All right. We'll go to the phones at 343-0106. And John in Mobile, first up. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
The thing you got to remember is this is one side of it. Basically, the first section that says there was no collusion, that's Mueller's side. The second part, like Mark Levin said, is a political document. It is a roadmap from 18 angry Democrats and a never-Trumper being Mueller on how to proceed with impeachment, because Trump didn't break the law.
He was helped because McGahn didn't let him.
He had all the legal authority to fire Mueller, fire anybody in the Justice Department, because
agreed. I don't think anybody's arguing that. He's said it, and many others have said it, but that doesn't mean that would have been the right choice.
Well, politically right. Politically, you're correct. But nobody got fired. And here's the question I got. How can you obstruct justice on a crime it never happened?
Right. That's one of the things that's standing out. That, you know, how, if there wasn't a crime happening, there's no way to obstruct justice. But you can also say that politically, right, we can judge these through two lanes, right? The judicial side and the political side. And on the political side, I think it would have been horrible for him to McGahn to go forward and them to start firing people here. I think it would have looked, the optics of it would have been horrible.
I agree. I do want to say, when Trump's attorneys come out with a rebuttal to that, I want to see that, because Rudy this morning on Fox was saying that everything in there about Cohen in part two is a lie. They published lies. In the report, they said that the Russian dossier was fake, which we all knew. And what's going to be really fun is when Brennan and Clapper and Comey and all the dirty cops start getting criminal referrals, because it's coming.
And we'll watch it.
The question that needs to be asked is, what did Barack Obama know, and when did he know it?
Right, right. That, and you've said that before. We'll wait for it. I think you got to get to some of the players you just mentioned first. You got to go through Comey and others before you get to the question about the former president of the United States. John, appreciate the call. Once again, though, I see everybody rallying around to say this is a complete vindication, or this is a complete, well, maybe not, I wouldn't say conviction, but a complete roadmap, like you said, John, to some kind of push for impeachment from the Democrats. I don't see either extreme in this. I see it as being something that, number one, answers a question that Barr answered a couple weeks ago when he gave his interpretation of the Mueller report. But at the same time, it leads to a lot of other questions here. Will this be, as the president has in the Mueller report quoted saying, F-bombing, which, I mean, you shouldn't be surprised. Really, you're surprised that in private, the president F-bombs? Come on, really? You know the guy that you elected, right? Okay. But the point is, he said, you know, basically he has been stymied. He was hamstrung with his presidency because of this investigation. And that will be, I think, true going forward, too, as the Democrats go and investigate each one of these extra 10 things that related to other law enforcement to look at. These will be political headwinds that the president has to face going into 2020. If you don't think the Democrats are going to use those, I mean, you know, you'd be naive. So I mean, it comes out that this is neither a complete, it is a vindication of the president on certain things and certain accusations, and I got to say, mainstream media that had him convicted and sentenced before they even had the facts. Not the facts matter. At the same time, those who would say that this is perfect for the president, it was a great day. I don't know. I don't think it scores 100 on the chart here. Let's go to David next in Mobile. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean. I agree with you that there's a lot of gray in this report, but the one thing that stood out to me as concrete, dried in concrete, is the fact that the anonymous opinion piece in the New York Times several months back saying that there was a cabal of aides and cabinet members that were trying to protect the Trump presidency from Trump himself rings more true today than it did before this report was released, because that cabal, I believe, was led by Don McGahn. I think Sessions participated in a little bit by not passing along information the president told him to pass along. I think Rod Rosenstein was involved in a little bit, and there were several others. But what do you think? Do you think
I completely agree, actually, and those are some of the names. I thought the same thing when I heard, you know, how I felt about Sessions the whole time, and then I heard the detail of the McGahn testimony there, that 30 hours. I said, holy cow. These are the people, and it's funny because these people will be pilloried by some Trump supporters, and I would argue that the president would not be, even though I got to agree with John, how can you, when there's not a crime, you know, if you're gonna have a, you have to have an initial crime, I think, to have a something set up where you're getting in the way of an investigation, right? There has to be an actual crime. But I will say that McGahn and Sessions and maybe some others unnamed did a good thing in protecting the president, even though those people will be, drugged through the mud by Trump supporters. Look at it. I mean, they protected the president.
Exactly. They did their job as cabinet members and administration officials of protecting the president, even if it's protecting him from himself. And I agree with you and John that if there's no initial collusion crime, there can't be an obstruction charge, because you have to have something, you have to have justice there to obstruct justice. And I don't think there was justice there to obstruct.
Very good. David, appreciate the call. What do y'all think? We'll grab your calls at 343-0106. Maybe have a quick one here before the news break, and we'll go to, we got to take this one because it's long distance. JP from Moscow. Hey, JP.
Hey, what's going on, Sean?
Live from Moscow, man. How is it?
Yeah, from Moscow. It's cold and windy. Who would have guessed? I'm making a collect call right now because they still have payphones over here.
That's good. That's good.
So
we got to
make it quick.
Okay.
I'm talking to the Russians, and they said they definitely did it. Whatever they're being accused of, they totally did it 100%. And, I talked to an anonymous source.
Yes.
And they're claiming that everything is all good. I mean, I didn't talk to him face-to-face. I actually didn't even talk to him on the phone. I texted with him back and forth. But he says he's high-level, so I trust him.
Okay, good.
Yeah, everything that they're saying Russia did, they totally did, 100%. You can take my word for it.
Okay, good. Thank you. Live from Moscow, JP, check it in. Leaves room for your call at 343-0106. All right, Cameron says, if Trump was guilty of obstruction, from the text line, it was not obstruction of justice, it was obstruction of injustice. He fought back against the Democrats, which is what got him elected in the first place, and I hope he continues to fight back and arrest those responsible for this whole charade. James, I have looked at the entire quote with the F-bomb. I just don't have it. I didn't have it in front of me at that point. What I was saying, James, is first of all, I'm not surprised the president F-bombed, but I agree with what he said, and I think he's back into that again. Even with the report out and the good things for the president here, if you don't think there's more hamstringing of his presidency going on with that, then we're not reading the same document. All right, we'll talk to you on the backside of the news here at 343-0106. It's Mobile Mornings. Glad you're here. At 836 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on the way. Get your take on the Mueller report. Also, a pretty interesting take from Ben Shapiro. Get to that here in just a little bit. Y'all say hello to Mitch McConnell at McConnell Automotive. And Mitch, talk to me about this pink tag sale I've heard you and Dalton talking about.
Well, Sean, first of all, I hope everybody made it to that weather safely, buddy. That was sure some weird stuff going on, wasn't it?
It was a bumpy night last night, to say the least. But the weekend looks great ahead. And pink, Easter egg pink tags?
Well, what we've got, Sean, is really the coolest sale I've had in 6 months. And it simply really came from GM, and we're adding to it. So every vehicle, when you ride by our lot on Dolphin Street, Sean's got a pink tag in it. And it really is simple. It's the old concept, just was and is. And people are able to buy an employee, GM employee, supplier price minus additional money, literally paying a lot less than what I paid originally for these vehicles. And one example of the pink tag is you'll see like a 2018 Z71. I think we have a dozen or 13 left. And, $56,000 truck where you take $13,000 off the sticker price. And you see 16% off the Buick inventory, and you got 11% off Yukons. It's really, really cool. So if people like to negotiate with salespeople, this is a bad sale. but if you really just like to save big money, and I promise it'll pay for a summer trip. I mean, these are $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 less than we've sold Acadias, Yukons, Enclaves, the Sierras. Every vehicle we've got has got a pink tag in it. And Sean, all people got to do is go to the website McConnellAutomotive.com and let the fingers do the shopping, man. It is really, really awesome. Don't want people to miss it.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. We appreciate it.
Y'all have a great day, buddy.
Hey, you too. Mitch McConnell. Check it in from McConnell Automotive just east of 65 on Dolphin Street. All right, let me look at a couple texts here, and then I want to get to the Shapiro story. This one, unnamed texter. Y'all give yourself a nickname, please, or real name or first name or something. I like to, correspond with you with the name. I said, yes, Jeff Sessions did do the right thing to recuse himself, but he should have declined to accept the attorney general job, knowing that Trump was going to be investigated. I believe Sessions is a good guy, but I think there was something fishy about him immediately taking the job, then immediately recusing himself. Also, this one, the Mueller report is nothing more than the Democrat platform for 2020. From another texter here. Name yourself, too, unnamed texter. I gotta agree. I think it's a good trap, though, because if the Democrats just stay with this and this is their only rallying point and they're not talking about what they could do for the American people that they don't think is being done now, that probably bodes well for the president in 2020, don't you think? I mean, if this is the only thing they're working off of, if it's all negative and no positive, where are they going to go from that? All right, get to this Shapiro thing. Just want to run through this because I think he's an interesting guy and a smart guy. And Shapiro's take on this is one that I believe is, I think, fair. Now, to tell you, I mean, Ben Shapiro's a very conservative guy, okay? No question here. So I'm not trying to put this off as some down the middle of the road person. But I think even those who would be anti-Trump or never Trumpers, listen to his points and tell me where he fails here. Okay, he said the Mueller report is interesting in a variety of ways. Here are some of the biggest takeaways. Number one, the Trump-Russia collusion claims were farcically overblown. He goes on to write, while there were certainly members of the Trump team who acted suspiciously, including Trump, who continued to lie to the American public that no work was occurring on Trump Tower Moscow deal during the 2016 campaign. The claims that Trump was a nefarious Russian agent were comically exaggerated. The Mueller report itself makes that clear. Number two on his list, the original suspicions regarding the Trump team may have not been unreasonable. He says one of the popular talking points these days concerning the Trump-Russia collusion investigation is that it was initiated in bad faith by an Obama intelligence apparatus concerned with taking down candidate Trump. He said that may be true, but there was plenty of smoke in the early days of the investigation. George Papadopoulos meeting with Joseph Mifsud, a suspected Russian agent who allegedly bragged that he had access to Hillary Clinton's emails. Roger Stone bringing WikiLeaks promises to the attention of the Trump campaign. Trump's dishonesty regarding the continuation of the Trump Tower Moscow deal negotiations. The 2016 Trump Tower meeting. Carter Page's coordination with Russian fronts while working for the Trump campaign. Says here, Page, for example, emailed several campaign officials in July of 2016, stating he had some incredible insights and outreach from a few Russian legislators and senior members of the presidential administration. Paul Manafort's involvement in the campaign while simultaneously doing dirty work for Ukrainian oligarchs. Number three here, the Steele dossier is nowhere to be found. He says the Steele dossier, the intelligence mishmash funneled to the Obama intelligence agencies via Fusion GPS, barely comes up in the Mueller report. Isn't that interesting? That's just my addition there. If you look through, you'd think Steele dossier was everywhere. It's not. Of course, it was used repeatedly as the basis of a FISA warrant against Carter Page and was presented directly to President Trump by former FBI Director James Comey, then reported broadly by the press. This raises serious questions as to how much the investigation morphed over time into an attempt to get the Trump campaign. Just how eager were members of the FBI, say, for like Peter Strzok, to place extra weight on a dubious document of Oppo research origin. All right, so Shapiro's fourth take here. Team Mueller has an extraordinary broad definition of obstruction of justice. Attorney General William Barr has come under serious fire for failing to prosecute Trump for obstruction of justice. He has rightly pointed out that there is no underlying crime and that the corrupt intent is one of the elements of the crime. Under that rubric, he stated in his March 24th letter, quote, to obtain and sustain an obstruction conviction, the government would need to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that a person acting with corrupt intent engaged in an obstructive event with a sufficient nexus to pending or contemplated proceedings. Yesterday, Barr clarified that standard. This idea that how can you obstruct justice if there wasn't anything specifically against the law? He goes on to say here, this broadly defined version of obstruction, whereby the president could undertake an otherwise legal act so long as it's capable of producing an effect, even if it does not directly impede a proceeding, so long as a person acts with the intent to obtain improper advantage, allows the Mueller report to consider whether Trump tweeting about Michael Cohen being a rat or Paul Manafort being a solid citizen amounts to obstruction of justice. The report says as much, in fact. So, I mean, there it is. It says, here's a quote. He pulls a quote. He said, a quote from the Mueller report says as much. In fact, take this line, for example. This line from the Mueller report says, the president's public statements during the Manafort trial, including during jury deliberations, also had the potential to influence a trial jury. End quote. Goes on to say here, Shapiro does, the president does have First Amendment rights. To suggest that public criticism of Robert Mueller or public praise of Paul Manafort amounts to criminal obstruction of justice requires an extraordinarily broad reading of obstruction of justice statutes. That's also true of presidential pardon power and the presidential power to fire. Trump certainly has those constitutional powers, and simply applying an intent test to those powers turns prosecutors into all-powerful mind readers. Trump pardoning someone or firing someone with corrupt intent may be impeachable. It's doubtful that it's criminal. Number five on his list here said, Trump is a bully who has no problem prevaricating for political gain and encouraging others to do so. I don't think that's a surprise. With all that said, the report is humiliating for the president. He acted embarrassingly, repeatedly, with regard to Russia during the 2016 campaign. He defended Vladimir Putin. He lied about the Trump Tower in Moscow. He praised WikiLeaks. And then he acted even more embarrassingly and immorally in order to avoid the consequences of his original activity. Thus, he instructed Donald Jr. to lie to the press in his statement about the Trump Tower meeting. He tried to push Don McGahn to lie to the press regarding Trump's desire to fire James Comey. He tried via Corey Lewandowski to push Attorney General Sessions to talk about his innocence. innocence and constrict the scope of the Mueller investigation. He tried to pressure Sessions to unrecuse himself and publicly browbeat him to do so. He tried to get McGahn to fire Mueller based on a nonsensical accusation of conflict of interest. All this is immoral, wretched, terrible behavior, but according to the Mueller report, each of these instances only hints at a violation of obstruction of justice. None of these incidents were dispositive. Okay? So in other words, this is kind of what I've been saying. This is in the gray. While some of the behavior I don't think is the greatest behavior, this is, unlike what the Democrats think, an obstruction of justice. All right, Shapiro goes on here. Number six on his list. Trump's team has prevented him from following through with his worst instincts, repeatedly. McGahn stopped Trump from firing Sessions and Mueller. He refused to comply with Trump's order to lie about the Mueller incident in a statement to the public. Jeff Sessions refused to unrecuse himself. Chris Christie refused to facilitate bizarre phone calls with James Comey. Rick Dearborn refused to threaten Jeff Sessions. And James Comey didn't end his investigation of Mike Flynn. As the report notes, the president's efforts to influence the investigation were mostly unsuccessful, but that is largely because the persons who surrounded the president declined to carry out the orders or accede to his request, end quote. Okay, that was from Barr yesterday. Or from the Mueller report yesterday. Number seven here, Trump probably wasn't trying to cover up anything. He was just, rightly, PO'd. This is Barr's point, and it happens to be true, right, Shapiro? Take, for example, President Trump's reaction to Mueller's appointment. According to the report, Trump slumped in his chair, then shouted, "Oh my God, this is terrible. This is the end of my presidency. I am blanked." You've heard that reported already. Trump then added, "Everyone tells me if you get one of these independent counsels, it ruins your presidency. It takes years and years, and I won't be able to do anything. This is the worst thing that has ever happened to me," end quote. Note, the president didn't say he, and this back to Ben Shapiro here, he said, note, he didn't say he was upset that Mueller might find something. See, that same takeaway Shapiro had is what I had. That quote right there, the I'm blanked quote that was run through every network and cable news last night, tells me that President Trump was upset about this because it would hamstring him. It would give him less political capital to make the changes that he wanted to make in government. Not that he was worried about the investigation finding something. He was worried about the investigation taking away his ability to keep moving with his plan. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. And good to see Shapiro bring that up. He said, President Trump was worried about the time suck of this. Trump routinely expresses his anger at the Mueller investigation, that it kept going. He was angry at James Comey for failing to publicly declare he wasn't under investigation, which would have been true at the time. He was enraged at Jeff Sessions for failing to limit the scope of the investigation. Again, there was no underlying collusion to cover up. This is what President Trump was lashing out about. His aides stopping him in too many cases, lying to the public but not to the investigators, and Trump tweeting his rage at the universe. That is not corrupt intent. That's mature but understandable rage combined with ignorance about the nature of the presidency and the legal system. Number eight here. Team Mueller laid out the grounds for impeachment, not prosecution. This is what many of y'all have said this morning already on the text line. The Mueller report's failure to lay out a recommendation on obstruction was obviously a roadmap to impeachment for Democrats. Mueller had three options. Okay, here's number one, to exonerate President Trump. Number two, to declare there was not enough evidence to indict Trump on obstruction. Or three, refuse to take a position. Option two is obviously the most correct, but it would merely be impossible to prove obstruction beyond a reasonable doubt, as Barr stated. Mueller's report provided counter evidence for every insinuation of guilt of obstruction. But Mueller went in with option three instead, which leaves the door open to impeachment and placing the blame on Barr. So there's some of the takes from Shapiro. I'm gonna tweet this out here in just a second. I want to hear from you. We come back on this. I thought it was a fair, open-eyed view of what happened yesterday. Of course, those voices are few, and the voices of surety are many. Coming right back. There's something new to report here. I'll keep my eyes on it, as now some live video coming from a neighborhood off of Knollwood. We talked earlier in the show a couple times with Katarina Luketich from News 5 about that manhunt that's been going on since late last night. And we had the update there from Chief Batiste, who said they had taken one into custody and still were looking for one suspect here. You need to go see the picture that's on WKRG.com. You can check that out. As it went down last night where you had a Tommy Goldman who had escaped from somewhere in Baldwin County. I don't know if it was for sure from prison or jail. It sounds like maybe it was just from an arrest scene. Then there's a bolo goes out. Mobile Police Department sees him riding in a car with Antonio Nettles. They then go to pursue, and they say Goldman shoots at the officers. I think three shots at the officers, and then they ditch the car. Canine units came in, apprehended Antonio Nettles, but they are still looking for Tommy Goldman, and it looks like now maybe narrowed down to this neighborhood off of Knollwood. We'll keep our eyes on that story, of course, and give you updates as they happen right here on FM Talk 106.5. Also, heads up to another great event coming up next week. Last night, they had Pretoria Brewing out at Pretoria Fields Brewing out at Cottage Hill Package. Next week, one of the ones I'm looking forward to, Ghost Train Brewing. They got their free tasting coming next week at Cottage Hill Package. Reminder, too, you don't have, I mean, these events that happen like Thursdays and Fridays are always fun when they have craft beer tastings or they have wine tastings or cigar events, because you can sample the stuff. You can also get cool swag like hats and stickers and all that. That's cool. But if right now you're looking to have a great craft beer, maybe you gave up craft beer for Lent. Oh, maybe it's time to treat yourself here at the on this Easter weekend. Stop by and see them. Cottage Hill Package, a great selection of those craft beers. Also, fine wines, great spirits, and that huge humidor full of cigars. Check them out at the corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, online at cottagehillpackage.com, or make sure to like them on Facebook. All right, grab a couple calls here, and we'll pick this up, too, in the midday show. Let me go to Fireball in Mobile first. Hey, Fireball.
Hey, guys. Y'all doing a fantastic job. Here lately, I've been the silent majority. I hadn't had a chance to call in. But as American people, we're tired of Congress wasting our tax money to this frivolous investigation that they're trying to cover something up on the Democratic Party.
So you, I mean, I'm following you. I hear you. So you, the whole investigation is frivolous.
Right, right. Well, they didn't find nothing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm letting you, I agree. I think a lot of people are scratching their head after 2 years of this, and there's nothing more than that that came out. Fireball, appreciate your call. Let's grab AJ quickly before the news break. Hey, AJ. There you are. AJ.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good. So what's your take?
Well, I feel like, you know, that they should be investigating Hillary and the DNC. I mean, they're going on a false dossier. The investigation never should have happened. I mean, Trump's done nothing wrong. I mean, you know, it's just been proven time and again. Like that gentleman said just now, they need to quit wasting tax dollars and get on with what the American people put them up there to do. They're just a bunch of crybabies that can't succumb to reality. They lost, Trump won. And they don't want to accept the truth.
There you go. AJ, closing it out for Mobile Mornings. Be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. More analysis of the Mueller Report coming up.